Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the second guest show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network, where I'll be our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will be the host. Him and Bobby will talk to Saints head coach Kellen Moore.
Also, Kellen Moore is going to do the show. Sean Payton would never do that. You remember?
Yeah, man. Sean didn't want to do none of the shows.
No,
especially on the week off.
No, it's like we have a bye and all that. And, I'm now going on to the next opponent and stuff. So no.
I'll talk to you all next week.
Yeah. So good for Kellen Moore.
And his guest tonight will be what they call the Edge, his coach. Jay Rogers. Jay was a defensive line coach with the Falcons last year. Came in. He'll coach.
The edge is like, Mike, that,
the
pass rush.
Yes, exactly.
You know, coming off the edge. Can you, Mike, I think right now, if you look at, you kind of judge the team. You know, we had the bye week. Who would be the MVP on offense? And you go, who the MVP on defense? So who's our all MVP? I'm telling you, I think if Chase Young would have been available every game, So now he missed, what, five games?
To me, it's DeMario Davis.
No, it is. But I'm saying, I think Chase Young could have been that one. I think that
he'd be in the hunt.
I give Mickey Loomis credit. I think that was money well spent because I think that he's going to produce for us.
Now you need a battering mate
on the other
side. Now, I do think in this draft class, you might be able to get yourself one. If you win a few more games, though, Arvell Reese, you're never going to see him. If you don't have a top three pick, Reese isn't going to be there from Ohio State.
Well, this is what I think about, players compete. Ain't nobody tanking. There's no team tanking because you're constantly being evaluated. It's not like basketball when you have maybe how you do your rotation and the limited number of players. You can say, well, they're tanking to have, help their lottery chance. But when you look at football, there's too many players playing for their future and their job. They can't put bad film out there, so there's nobody tanking. So the Saints are going to try to win. Mike, I'll tell you this. And we always look at, okay, Bob, what do you think? I think, let's say, even if we had Derek Carr. Okay, you're like a veteran quarterback. Well, we'd have two more wins.
And then
you look at the strength of schedule in the back end. So let's say Derek Carr was playing. What are you winning? You're not winning anything. So what, we'd be 8-9?
You're stuck in football purgatory again.
Then you middle the pack. That's why we have to kind of blow it up and go forward. But I think right now I'm so impressed with Tyler Shuck, what he did against Carolina. Now can you build upon that? And then you go game after game after game. You know what Tyler Shuck needs to do? Let's say they win because, Mike, we had talked about this during the draft. And then come OTA's minicamp, I said they can win five or six games with this roster. This after Derek Carr had retired. And all. I think they can win five or six games. Then after I seen the offensive line and training camp.
Lowered that number.
So then I went 4-5. And I still think, because the way Tyler Shuck played against Carolina, that they can win four or five games. Now, what has to happen for the Saints and how you're trying to construct that future roster, I think to say that you're not going after a quarterback in this upcoming draft, and who knows how that draft is going to produce quarterbacks because that has gone way down. Okay, who's a starting quarterback in college right now that could start for a team? Maybe Mendoza?
I think Mendoza's the guy now.
Yeah, so, I look at all these other guys, so I'm almost hoping Tyler Shuck works out because it would help. And I'm not saying just giving it to him and making him earn it, they'd work out so we could rebuild the team faster. Oh, we got our quarterback. Now, what has to happen, if Tyler Shuck is playing, and let's say we beat the Jets or Titans and you beat Atlanta and you go play Carolina, whatever happens, is that if the Saints win, you want it to be a big part the Saints won because Tyler Shuck's played. You don't want it to be where the Saints won the game.
But Tyler didn't play well.
Yeah, Tyler Shuck didn't do too good. That's what you don't want. I wouldn't want, if we're going to win and we're training in the right direction, that the Saints won because of the play, the team play, but also the play of the quarterback.
Bob, I think, too, is what's important down the stretch. Tommy Tucker and I were talking about this morning. He said, what are the two things you want to see better of other than Shuck? I said, one, stop the run. You did it last week against the Panthers. You were able to stop that rushing attack, but do it again. Because guess what Atlanta's going to do? They are going to give you a fistload of Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, who's had really good games
against
the Saints. Michael Penix Jr. will not play. He's on injured reserve. He'll be out at least 4 weeks. And then Drake London,
he's not playing.
So, okay, stop the run and say, Kirk, okay, I wouldn't have said this a couple years back, but I'll say it now. Beat us throwing the ball because Bobby's like a statue now in
without
the pocket. He can't move. The other thing, too, is run the football better. I think that is your quarterback's best friend. How many times have I heard you say, even when Drew Brees was there, less of Drew is more?
Oh, no, but out of town.
Running the ball.
I'm telling you, because then you can keep defenses off balance, and even if they have film on you, they don't know what direction you come from. You never want to be one-dimensional. You hear that all the time. And, Mike, okay, I'd want to flip this on the back end of the season. That you look going in now. This is going into the Carolina game. We were averaging 3.8 yards a carry and giving up 4 yards a carry. Well, we do this against the Falcons, we're winning. We only wouldn't win if we're like minus one, minus two. But we only gave up against Carolina. What's the run with Dottel? They only average 3.2 yards a carry. If we do that against Bijan Robinson, you know they're going to want to run him. That is winning football. So can we run the football? And you remember I told you about the attempts. This means you're controlling the ebb and flow of the game and the tempo. We had 37 rushing attempts. Now, we only averaged 3.3, but we were able to continuously run the ball throughout the game, and we're not chasing points. You know, like, oh, the first quarter's over. We're losing 10-0. You know, that's the kind of thing. Now, we responded after that one touchdown drive they had.
The opening drive.
Carolina didn't do jack when you look when that all occurred. So that's kind of like what we have to do right now. And hopefully that's the case. Because, Mike, when you look at, like, where we're at right now and what it's going to take, look, this has to change. That if you look in 10 games, we've topped 20 points just twice. Come on. We have to be, like, every game, I don't know, 23, 21. I'm not saying we got to score 31, whatever. But we just topped 20 points just twice in 10 games. That has to change. And then we were not competitive in that Seattle game. You look at that and you look at the Rams. But we're not even going to worry about that right now because we got to take baby steps before we're going to get to the level in the future, championship football. That's what they're striving. But, Mike, we were not competitive in those two particular games. It was like the JV versus the varsity. But, Mike, trailing almost the entire season from the start to the finish in 7 of 10 games. You know, can we, from the get-go, you know what I mean? Don't, because then that could be where we're lucky if we win two more games, if you keep trailing to start games like we have 7 out of 10.
So it's great to develop Tyler Shuck, and I want to see that. But to win, you got to stop the run and try to run the football better than what you have in the first part of the year. Bob, last year, think about this. Look what Bryce Young did against the Saints throwing. Yesterday, against the Falcons, he was 31 of 45 for 448 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
And he didn't do jack
against
the Saints.
He didn't do anything.
He had 124 yards throwing, and Mike, a quarterback rating of 63. When I saw that, 448 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, boy, I didn't know if I'd ever see that from Lil Bryce. You know why I'm impressed with that? Maybe I'm stroking my own ego. The most I ever threw for in a game was 444 yards, and I thought I was hot as you know what. I'm like, man, I cannot be stopped. I remember in the Astrodome, it was against Jim Kelly. Now, I know it was USFL, but it was Michigan Panthers, Jim Kelly.
What did Jim throw for that game?
He threw less. He had like 370 or something. We won like 52-35 or something like that. It was like a shootout. But I felt like in that Anthony Carter, I was on fire. So I got to give Bryce credit because, you know, I give him the business. 448 yards. But you look at that. Look where Carolina's at. You know, you never know what team they showed them how to beat the Packers. Look, and then
they
waxed
them. Against the Saints, and then they were good yesterday.
Mike, they are 6-5 right now, which completed a sweep of the rival Atlanta Falcons. They beat Atlanta twice. And everybody's talking about, you know, no one expected the Saints to do anything. You know why they ticked off in Atlanta? They were like, because they thought they were going to do something this year and compete with Tampa Bay. And then, you know, they had Carolina a little better than us. But now when you look at it, Mike, where Carolina's at, yeah, I'm not saying going to catch Tampa Bay. But Atlanta is way more disappointing than we are right now.
Arthur Blank got a lot more patience with Raheem Morris than he did when he was
running
that
Morris knows
depot,
defense. And I think he's definitely an NFL coach, but not a head coach. Just his second chance, Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Mike, who does he remind you of? Two chances as a head coach. He's now running the Bears defense. Exactly.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. It's our second guest edition. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. And then again, we'll throw it to our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, Kellen Moore, Jay Rogers, the Saints Edges Coach. And then Monday Night Football, you can hear that game live on our FM station, and it'll be Raiders Cowboys. Bob, news breaking, Pete Thamel had it that looks as though they are in the final stages of James Franklin coming to an agreement with Virginia Tech.
Oh, I thought you could say LSU.
Virginia Tech.
Okay, yeah, that's about right. He'd be a Hokie, be a gobbler. You know, Virginia Tech's one of those teams, like Auburn, they got a bunch of different mascots. You know, Auburn's like the Plainsmen. The Tigers and all that. Oh, War Eagle and all that. You know, but I got to give Auburn credit. I'm going to say, you know what, to Alabama. So I loved it when Oklahoma beat them. I'm not a Sooner, but I love that when that happened. Okay. Oklahoma's had their number, but Virginia Tech.
Back-to-back years, OUS beat them.
Yeah, yeah. But you look at Virginia Tech, they're called the Hokies, the Gobblers and all that. And you know what? I got introduced to Virginia Tech because I was doing the radio in Atlanta because of Michael Vick. You know, and Michael Vick, Bobby, it's a pretty cool college town, you know, to hang out. You know, but really, that you look Athens, Georgia, different college towns. There's not too many, like, you can go like Stark Vegas, Starkville, different places you could go and hang out. And you know how I've been poo-pooing Lubbock, Texas Tech. I've never been to Lubbock. I just think a tumbleweed rolling by, but I get it's in the middle of nowhere. But I bet it's probably they have cool spots to go hang out. Any college town could be cool, and you can make the most of it. You know, I remember when I went to Northwestern in Natchitoches, they go like, Bobby, wouldn't you rather have been at a bigger school or something like that?
You couldn't have had any more fun anywhere else.
You only have so
believe
many,
me.
You only have so many hours in a day, and you only can have so much fun. I mean, so you got to make the fun wherever you're at. And so I love Natchitoches. And I always brag on it, oldest town in Louisiana Purchase, older than Yarlin. So you got to make the best of wherever you're at. So whether you're at Texas Tech where they at Lynchburg, Virginia, whatever. But James Franklin, that'll be interesting to see what his contract is there, Mike, because he's got, you know, when he...
He got a lot. He wanted money for assistance and NIL and assurance that he was going to get that from the
alumni,
athletic director,
you know, yeah.
Alumni. Once he got that, okay, we're willing to roll.
Because when you look at it, and I'm going more to 21st century, that if you look at, like, okay, the state of Virginia and Virginia sports, I remember, I'm old school, Virginia Cavaliers was always Ralph Sampson in basketball. Even when Malcolm Brogdon, who played with my son at Great Atlanta Christian, won a state championship, he was in NBA Rookie of the Year 2016. So you think of Virginia Cavalier basketball, Virginia Tech was more the football school than
yes,
Virginia. But look at Virginia until they kind of choked in the ACC where they're at. So Virginia Tech, Mike, weren't they considered always one of the best special teams, college teams?
Frank Beamer.
Now his son's at South Carolina.
Yeah, Shane.
But Frank Beamer, remember that?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think he had
the first team guy. He played his first team guys on special teams. You didn't see
and
that they, much.
They would
he
block
did.
Punts.
They were great.
Yeah, and you can't miss him. He had that growth on his neck, I think. Remember that? It was like Frank Beamer. He was unbelievable at Virginia Tech.
He was a superb coach there. And if you think that's a hot story, wait till you hear the next guy we have on, Wilson Alexander.
Oh, that sounds like LSU.
About LSU in an all-chips-in effort to land Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. We'll be back with Wilson Alexander right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Second guest at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our talk and text line. Let's bring in breaking story this afternoon about details of LSU's all chips in kind of run toward Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin, Wilson Alexander. Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. How you doing?
Good. Wilson, let me ask you something before we get started. You play cards?
A little bit, yeah. Which game?
Poker. You a poker player?
No, not too much of a poker player.
Okay. This is a high-stakes game of poker with Lane Kiffin.
No, Wilson.
Florida, LSU, Ole Miss. Well, high stakes.
Well, Wilson thought you were talking about crazy eights or something.
No, not that.
No, I know. I'm joking.
Well, my grandma taught me how to play gin when I was three.
Oh, okay. All
at
right.
Three? Oh, but then I don't want to play against you. Yeah, even though I got a few years on you, that's a lot of time.
But, yeah, but like Mike was saying, look at Lane Kiffin. Boy, he's
in the catbird seat,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Wilson?
Sorry, what was the question?
I said Lane Kiffin is in the catbird seat today.
Yes, he is certainly LSU's top target. Or a top target in the focus of this coaching search at the moment. He has family that came into Baton Rouge today. LSU officials arranged for a private plane to go to Oxford, Mississippi, pick them up and bring them down to Baton Rouge this morning. And now that seems to be the focus of the search right now is kind of all eyes on Lane Kiffin. And what is he going to do? Florida's obviously in hot pursuit as well. And Ole Miss wants to keep him. But Ole Miss, according to The Athletic and On3 today, have now given him an ultimatum, according to The Athletic, that that's going to be before the Egg Bowl on November 28th. They want a decision as to what he is going to do next. And so all eyes on Lane Kiffin, and LSU is right in the middle of it.
Now, Wilson, boy, how things are complicated now because you got the playoff scenarios and situation. The two questions I have for you, because you know we're always a prisoner of the moment. And you look, they went to the Swamp, hard place to play, and they spanked the Florida Gators. So as all of a sudden, oh, look, everyone says, I really like Lane Kiffin. Boy, look what he's doing with Ole Miss. So do you think that comes into play? Let's say he would have went to Florida and had a stinker. You never know. You look all of a sudden, the rumors, and that was a rumor, the Memphis coach going to Arkansas. Well, they end up losing two in a row. Not that it was anything. Tulane's coach, they go to Texas San Antonio. Whether, you know, we are humans, how we think about things. But Lane Kiffin has had the Rebels still playing at the very high level to go to Florida and how they beat him, considering the significant games, how competitive Florida was. You look against Georgia, and you go on and on. But when I look at what they did, in Gainesville and now Florida, as much as LSU, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think Gainesville and Baton Rouge is basically the same. You look at the Swamp, Tiger Stadium, you look at the resources, the recruiting areas and all that, and you look at name, image, and likeness, transfer portal. But then, to me, how do you sell the players when all of a sudden, no, we have to maybe have a chance to do something special in the postseason, and then all of a sudden, when do you turn your back if you would leave Ole Miss and not stay there?
Yeah, with the LSU and Florida jobs, they do seem fairly similar in some ways. I think maybe the main difference is that Florida has been further away from relevancy for a longer time than LSU has. You know, they've been really ever since Urban Meyer left. There's been some little moments here and there. There was a moment under McElwain. There was a moment under Dan Mullen, but it's never really been sustained, and they've gone through so many coaches over the past, what, 10 to 15 years or so now. And LSU is obviously has that 2019 national championship to hang its hat on, as well as just a little bit more of a heightened success. And you're also just the one singular flagship state in, you know, power conference school in the state, as we all know. So with the whole thing with the playoff, though, is fascinating. I mean, Ole Miss is likely is almost a near lock to make the playoff at this point. Even if they lose to Mississippi State and they're 10-2, they're probably in. And if they win that game, then they're definitely in. And then you're talking about them even as a fringe four seed, most likely, because they're not going to go to the SEC championship game, at least probably not going to the SEC championship game, most likely one of those hosting one of those first-round games. And I think that's why you've got Ole Miss right now kind of coming out and pushing Lane to make a decision. They don't want to be going into the playoff with uncertainty around their head coach. But it also would make for a fascinating situation if Lane leaves on the verge of going to the playoff with his team for the first time and Ole Miss goes through the playoff with an interim coach. I mean, that seems to be a possibility here if he were to take one of these other jobs.
You know what's crazy, Wilson, when you think about, you know, no matter what line of work you're in, the networking and who you know, who you associate with. I've been knowing Lane Kiffin way back. Do you know Coach O, my college roommate, in 2008 was the same defensive line coach? Well, University of Tennessee paid him twice as much, so he went with Lane Kiffin and went to Tennessee. Now they go back to USC and all that. And you look at that relationship. So you look, I mean, I'm sure Coach O didn't share this with him, but like talked to Lane Kiffin when they won the national championship, arguably one of the greatest seasons ever. So do you think maybe Lane Kiffin, when you look at, okay, Coach O, how was your experience in Baton Rouge and what you have to deal with? But correct me if I'm wrong, but I know maybe, I don't know if scorn's the right word, but didn't Lane Kiffin want to be the LSU coach before he went to Ole Miss or sometime when that job was opening that maybe instead of hiring Coach Kelly, that Lane Kiffin maybe wanted to be the guy at LSU.
He wanted to be the guy.
Right.
But the athletic director was, we ain't going through that. But I'll let you answer that, Wilson.
Yeah, I've heard similarly that Lane had interest in LSU back in 2021 and that LSU never really went down that road in any sort of serious way. And, you know, that he's always sort of had an interest in this place. And also maybe just sort of seeing some of these traditional blue blood jobs as maybe, you know, what he came up in, that was sort of the aspiration. That's kind of changed now a little bit. I mean, like we're seeing so much success at, you know, Indiana and Ole Miss and places like that. But maybe for someone like him, that's still kind of what you aspire to potentially. And then with Ed, man, wouldn't that be fascinating if he brought Ed Orgeron back to LSU, if LSU officials would sign off on it? I mean, it would certainly make sense that he would at least talk to Ed about his experience in Baton Rouge. If he were to do that, that would make a lot of sense. To bring him back would be maybe another thing entirely. But, you know, they go way back, and we'll see. We'll see how this all shakes out. Long way to go before we get to that.
Brought Bobby Petrino back.
Yes, come
on. Look how it ended with Bobby.
he had that bad motorcycle wreck. Come on.
And that was all dicey.
Yeah.
But we had Coach O on a couple weeks ago, and I asked him about the job. He had told me this off the air. Compare it. And he was like, Mike, things have changed since I was at Ole Miss as the head coach. And things, even in the short time I'm gone from LSU, has changed. But one thing I do know, LSU's the better job. He said, you know, because we all grew up in a situation where people say, man, I ain't got no money. He said, come on, Mike, you know it. LSU got money. Now, they might cry poverty because, you know, I've had relatives of mine tell me I ain't got no money, but they loaded. LSU has the money. If they need it, this is not going to be a question of money. I think is where does Lane feel more comfortable? Where's the most comfort fit for Lane at this point in time?
Well, how many championships that you got to go back to Johnny Vaught did Ole Miss win? That was before segregation. What are you talking about? And look at all the national championships LSU has won compared to Ole Miss. So to say, well, Ole Miss is on the same level as LSU, no. Just look at the stadiums.
But I think Florida
just look
is.
At the stadium. No, I think exactly. Florida. Because I know that Florida, Georgia area, the players they have there.
They got players.
No, now you got to recruit. You're also competing with Florida State and the U and all that. But when I look at Wilson, what I think the winning formula is, what all ADs should look at and all universities, what in the hell is Texas Tech doing it? You want to talk about they doing it right, whether you look at their coach and you look at the transfer portal, and you never thought of Texas Tech defense. Look where they're at and how relevant they are and how that coach was getting all these all-stars together to come together as a team. To me, that you talk about what we're doing now with the name, image, likeness, and transfer portal, Texas Tech is the poster child. I don't know what they could do the rest of the year because, like, if Ohio State wins the championship, well, Ohio State, they've done that, been there, done that. But if you have some kind of weird scenario that Texas Tech would be national champs, there wouldn't be a bigger poster child than name, image, likeness, transfer portal than the Red Raiders.
Yeah, Texas Tech has the luxury of a mega donor in Cody Campbell, who has done really well for himself in the energy sphere and is able to just sort of write blank checks and be out in front of everything. LSU, as I remember Scott Woodward told me one time, doesn't have the singular donor that it can go to and just ask for money necessarily, but it is certainly not it is not poor. I mean, LSU athletic department in the most recent fiscal year that was available, like a year or two ago, was making over $200 million. They've made over $200 million in revenue for multiple years now, and they're not. The final profit isn't that, but that's what it starts off as, their revenue. And so, yeah, they're not poor. They are up there with everybody else. The thing, though, is that LSU's NIL collective, and this might very much matter with the pursuit of Lane, is not the most financially lucrative compared to sort of the other top programs in the country. We know they put a lot of effort into it going into this year, tripled their spending through NIL and revenue sharing compared to what they did last year, $18 million or so on this roster. But the reason that might matter here is that Lane Kiffin was asked recently, like, what makes a good job? And one of the things that he said was the money. Like, you have to have the NIL money. You have to be able to have that kind of infrastructure in place, that it's really a lot about that kind of thing now, not as much about facilities and recruiting base, although that stuff, it can still matter. And so LSU is going to have to probably show to Lane, like, we have everything that you need to be successful, because LSU for a few years was lagging behind its SEC peers in terms of NIL. And right now the NIL collective is, from what I have been told, dormant. It could be revved back up, but because of the beginning of revenue sharing and a different strategy that they've taken to really try to, like, do everything through finding third-party NIL deals, through corporate partnerships and stuff like that, the NIL collective itself is kind of dormant. And so they're going to have to be able to spell that out to him and any other prospective coach what exactly that situation is so that the coach can feel comfortable knowing that LSU has everything in order to be able to go and sign a top roster.
Now, Wilson, have you ever witnessed, times change? How many significant profile or universities that their coaches are already fired? And it kind of reminds me, it's like, you look at the money involved, and everybody wants to win. Everybody's not going to win. Look, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year in the NFL. So you think right now that the way college football is, it's somewhat of a version where you're going to have this turnover every year or for years. All of a sudden, the season's halfway over in college football, and there's 8 coaches that are getting fired. So break that down, what you've witnessed all through the years covering college football and where we're at as far as who's on the hot seat and who's gone and all that.
It is certainly accelerated. I mean, last year's coaching carousel was pretty quiet, but it seems to be that it was sort of kind of revving up into this season. And the last year, with revenue sharing on the horizon, schools maybe weren't making those decisions, weren't wanting to maybe pay those buyouts and things like that. But now you've got an expectation of competing for the college football playoff every year, sort of a feels like a shorter, less patience nowadays, it feels like. Maybe I wonder if y'all think the same way on that. It feels like the schools and fan bases are less patient than they maybe used to be. There's this expectation to get into the college football playoff and compete for championships, that is the whole and singular focus for a program like LSU. You've got just sort of, outrage that happens on, it's social media, so it's not really real life, but that sort of people are quick to be angry and express that. And there's just sort of this, and now that we've gotten through that last year where people were kind of hesitant to do it, now you've got all these teams paying these huge buyouts and you've got this huge coaching carousel going on. And it'll be fascinating to see into the future if that continues to be the case or not, or if this is maybe like a one-year thing where it's just so many programs turning over at once. But, I think those are some of the reasons why we've seen what we have this season.
You were, Wilson. I think we're going to see this pretty often. May not be every year, but at least every other year, we're going to see massive turnover in college football. Tell us a few highlight deals that you see that they have thrown at Lane Kiffin to get him to try to come and take the LSU job.
When you say highlight deals, you mean like what contract they are?
Contract-wise.
Incentives. So, yeah, like what would be like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know for sure what LSU's contract would be for Lane Kiffin, what the pitch would be. I'm sure that it would be lucrative. I mean, he's one of the, I think it's like 11th highest paid coach in the country right now, something like that. Whoever gets him next, he's going to probably be, I don't know, this is just a guess, top five, maybe even the top paid coach in the country. What's going to be fascinating about the contract is that if they are to hire Lane Kiffin, the money on an annual basis will be huge. It'll probably be significantly more than what LSU is paying Brian Kelly. The thing to look for is the term of the contract shorter. Jeff Landry made that very clear that he does not want to see, the kind of buyout that LSU was on the hook for with Brian Kelly. If you shorten the term, that could be one way to do it. Maybe it's a 6 or 7 year deal so that by year 4, you're on the hook for a lot of money, but it's not $54 million. Maybe it's $28 million or something like that by year 4 if you were to want to make a change. You could also see a contract that has heavier incentives on it, but that might not necessarily, if the annual value is really high, the guaranteed annual value is really high, then maybe you wouldn't have those incentives in it. But I think they would at least shorten the term. I would be shocked if LSU has another 10-year contract on its hands.
Now, Wilson, before we let you run, thanks for coming on. If you have your eggs all in one basket, Lane Kiffin, do you have a 2 or 3? I mean, who's on the radar?
Yeah, I've heard Eli Drinkwitz's name come up quite a few times in conversation. I think that he is on their radar and someone they're interested in. They have not dismissed the idea of John Summerall, from what I understand. And there could be others on the list as well as they move forward.
Put it to you this way. When Lane, if he would leave, I think John Summerall would be the target guy for Ole Miss. I think John would look at that job better than Auburn.
Yeah, who's the target guy for Auburn? Isn't he still?
I think John is in play there.
Also, you would take Ole Miss over Auburn, you think?
Okay, at this stage, where would you go? Auburn or Ole Miss?
No, because Auburn, you got to compete against Alabama. But all I know is when you get a Cam Newton, that didn't matter. It was Alabama.
It didn't last too long.
It's a flash. It's just like one. But who's had three great influence in individual athletes? Always look at this, that you continue. To me, Cam Newton is third, but you look at like Bo Jackson and Charles Barkley at Auburn, in the middle of nowhere, the Plainsman again.
That Frank Thomas guy was pretty good.
War Eagle. Yeah, Frank Thomas, baseball, yeah.
That's on. For him. But I'll ask you, Wilson, if that scenario would happen and Lane would leave, you think it's more likely that Coach Summerall would go to Ole Miss or Auburn?
The personal connections are so much stronger at Auburn, but you'd be stepping into probably a better situation at Ole Miss, a team that's gone 10-win season 3 years in a row and going to the playoff right now. You might be able to win sooner there, so it'd be a tough decision.
Wilson, thanks so much for joining us, man. I know you got a lot of things to cover. We appreciate you jumping on with us this afternoon, brother. God bless.
All right, Wilson. Thanks, bro.
Thanks for having me, y'all. You'll have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Wilson Alexander does a fantastic job covering the LSU Fighting Tigers football team for the Advocate Times-Picayune. We'll be back to finish it up here on Second Guess in hour number one right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Second Guess, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I want to thank Wilson Alexander for joining us, breaking down the insights of LSU all in their pursuit of Lane Kiffin. And Bob, I think when it's all over with, Lane Kiffin's going to end up being either the top paid coach in college football or number two. Kirby's number one.
When you think about it, Lane Kiffin, I think, really wants to be the LSU coach. Now you got to hire the right defensive coach.
I agree. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.